Welcome each one this morning. Greet you in Jesus' name. I've been blessed already this morning. Enjoyed Dan's devotions on new things and how God is where we need to put our focus and trust Him to make us new. And also the Sunday school. We could have gone a long time on that. Maybe we'll have some. My wife had kindly prepared a summary of last year, and I was going to read it this morning, but I left it at home, so I'm sorry about that. Maybe we'll do it next Sunday or something. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for each one that's here. Pray you'd bless us further as we look into your word. Thank you for what we have learned already. Thank you for this new year. Thank you for taking care of us and blessing us physically and spiritually, and we look forward to the new year with you, and just bless those that aren't here with us, just heal them and keep them in your care, in Jesus' name. My text verse is first from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I'm not sure how you each look at the new year, whether you're at the top of a slope looking down and there's a few steep spots ahead, or if you're looking at a hill and you got to climb, it doesn't really matter. But as long as we have God with us in the new year, it doesn't matter what we will face, we will be victorious. And I was thinking, you know, a new year, God has it all figured out already. So shouldn't we be anticipating it, whatever happens, knowing that God has it all planned? He has our story written already, and if we follow Him, it will work out. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." My title is "Gird Up the Loins of Your Mind and Hope to the End." This letter of Peter was written to the Christians that were scattered from their homelands. They were persecuted Christians, and they may have been viewed as strangers where they lived. They lived in five Roman provinces all them provinces would be contained in the country of Turkey now, today. It seemed like this letter was meant to circulate through the churches, through those different churches here it talks about in verse 1, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So it was for those churches back then, but is definitely for us today. So this term, "gird up the loins of your mind," it kind of become a figure of speech used here in 1 Peter. But I want to look at a couple instances where people did this in the Old Testament. They would wear these robes, and I'm not sure if somebody did this for an illustration already, but they would, when they wanted to get busy doing something, they would grab the two sides and kind of tie it up out of the way of their legs so they could run, so they could work. I almost think Dennis maybe used that for an illustration earlier. I'm not sure. But that's what that "gird up the loins of your robe" or your mind is what we're talking about today. They would tie it up out of the way. So I like that expression because it has the thought of tying your life together in God and getting ready to work, getting ready for action. Maybe look at that a little bit later. That actually means getting ready for action, has that thought. So let's look at Exodus 12:11, where the Israelites were eating the Passover, the first Passover. Exodus 12:11. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. And it says, "Thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. Anyhow, Israel was getting ready to leave Egypt, and God told them the angel was going to come and smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But he says here, they were supposed to prepare a meal and have blood on the doorposts. And he says how they were supposed to be ready. You shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, ready to go. So it's a sign of someone that's at attention, they're focused. They know what to do, and they're ready to go. I like that thought as we think of the new year. Let's be ready for whatever God has for us. Let's have our, as much as possible, have our life focused on what God wants and be ready for the next thing. Be ready for God's story, however he's going to write it for us. Then we could look at the instance of how Elijah was with the prophets of Baal, and they were sacrificing, and you know, they had one sacrifice to Baal and it didn't work out, and Elijah sacrificed and the fire came down, and then God said it was going to rain, and Elijah, he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab back to Jezreel. He gathered up his clothes and tied them in a knot and ran. So just a word picture in your mind of what that means as a kind of a figure of speech in 1 Peter there. The Lord also said to Job, we know how the Lord and Job had a lot of discussions, says in chapter 40, verse 7, this says, "Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins like a man, I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me." So it was kind of another figure of speech. Get ready, be like a man. I have something to ask you. It has that thought of being focused, being a man, being ready for work. I want to read 1 Peter a few more verses here. And as we read it, I'd like us to put our names in here. It's not just think of it as those people over all those different places. Let's think of it as us today. Any believer here this morning, let's put our name in these verses. I'm going to start at verse 1 in 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God." So put your name right at the front there. "We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you," for us, for each one of us. Put your name there. "Who are kept," there it is again, "we are kept, you and I, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness." Put our names in there again. "Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith," each one of us, Richard, Ron, Joel, Ray, go back through. that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, put our names in there again, each one of our faith, even the salvation of your souls, of that of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Let's skip down to verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I like the way Peter starts his letter here. He introduces himself, and then he describes who he's writing to. He calls the believers elect, which means favorite or chosen. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Every believer on the face of the earth is a favorite in God's eyes. He's chosen. We all know God isn't a respecter of persons. We know that. But I also believe that as believers, God loves us in a different, in a more intense way, I believe. We are that today. We are God's favorite chosen people as we believe in him, as we follow him. In verse 2, it talks about he caused us to be born again to a living hope. As Christians, we have a hope beyond this life. Verse 5 says, he keeps us who are kept by the power of God. That word kept means guarded. I want to read this in another translation too, some of these verses. Makes me think of John 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So there you have some verses that talk about the same thing. We're kept, we're guarded, and we can't be plucked out of God's hand, no matter what comes. We can walk away on our own, but we cannot be plucked out by any physical force. Okay, I'm going to read some of these verses in a New Living Translation. And I know you got to be careful. Some of this doesn't exactly, you can follow along if you want. 1 Peter verse 2, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed and the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. And then verse 13, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. I like that. Thought there. Prepare your minds for action. That's kind of what that word picture there of girding up the loins of your mind. Prepare for action. Am I prepared for the action God wants for me? Am I preparing? And I like the thought there of we have a priceless inheritance that is it's in heaven. There's no way anyone can reach it and mess with it. It's there. God's keeping it for us, and it will be there when we reach heaven. Kept there by God's power. We are kept. Inheritance is kept. All we have to do is be faithful by God's grace. Okay, the points to my sermon are girding up the loins of your mind. What actions are we to prepare for? God girds the righteous, and hope to the end. Faith and endurance will be rewarded. So girding up the loins of your mind. And the ESV says preparing your minds for action. That's kind of the same as the New Living Translation. So it has that thought of action. Preparing our minds for action. And we all know our minds are our control center. If I'd had time, I would have looked into a little bit more how our minds control everything. And there's nerves, there's muscles, but it all starts in our mind. Our mind tells the rest of our body what to do. So it's important we prepare for action in our minds, because that's where everything starts and comes from. Let's look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 1. These are very familiar, but let's read them anyhow. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Let's go down to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There it is again. God is going to keep our hearts and minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So our minds are our control center, and we can decide what we're going to think, and from there we decide what we're going to do. And it's important that we have God at the center of that, God directing us. And Matthew 22 talks about that. Matthew 22, verse 34. It says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So, when we think of girding up our minds, preparing our minds for action, we need to have this as our base for that action, for that preparing. Loving God first with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. There's nothing left that can be off to the side. It's our whole life. Our whole life needs to be wrapped up in serving God. And that's a challenge to me, and it's a challenge to every one of us. Is that where I start my life? Is that where I start and stop? Is God my control center? Through my mind is my control center, but is God controlling my mind? Do I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind? I think it is very foundational to girding up our minds and preparing for action, preparing for a new year. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Very basic, very foundational. But without it, you have nothing. Is the Lord our foundation? Is the Lord my base for life? Is the Word of God my base? 2 Corinthians 16:13 talks about being men. I didn't know where all to put these verses exactly, but I like the thoughts they give. Thinking of being men, being ladies for God. 2 Corinthians 16. Must be 1 Corinthians. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Just a challenge to be watchful, stand fast in the faith, and be like men. Just be firm, be rooted, and act like men. And I want to say, I was going to say this earlier, but I appreciate the challenge you brethren are to my life. I just want to thank you for your support and your challenge to my life. It's good to be part of a spiritual brotherhood that challenges each other, not only in words, but in actions, just the way you live. 2 Samuel 10. Verse 9, I like the thoughts these verses give too. 2 Samuel 10, verse 9. This is David, I believe, is the king, and Joab is his military commander. And they were facing an enemy. And it says, when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai's brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. And Joab drew nigh, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. I love that thought, that verse 12. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people. Let's do our part, and God will do what seems best to him. Joab was a good commander there. He gave the glory to God, but he went ahead and did what he could. And they won the battle. Let's keep that in mind as we think of our own lives, our own families, our own church. It's God's church, it's God's family, but we have a responsibility, and let's do like Joab there. Let's do what we can and go to battle with good courage and let God determine the outcome. Thinking of girding up the loins of our mind, I'm going to look at Luke 12, 27. This is a bit of a different thought. Thinking of faith. It says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and is tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. The phrase I wanted out of those verses in verse 29, neither be of doubtful mind. When we think of girding up our minds, being prepared for action, let's not have a doubtful mind in the strength and power of God. Let's believe it. Let's claim the promises. Let's move ahead with God. And focus on the right things. Focus on what God wants us to focus on. This is a lot about focus. Preparing our minds for action. Focus on God's plan. Focus on God's power. And focus on his plan for us, for you and I. Hebrews 12. Says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let's remember Christ in no matter what difficulty or whatever part of life we're facing. Never forget our example in Jesus. In 12 and 13, the same chapter there, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. We can do that for ourselves, and we can help to do that for others too. Make straight paths. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Thinking of girding up our minds, having them focused, having them in God's will, says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That sound mind has a thought of discipline and self-control. Are we ready for action? Are we ready to face what God has for us? So what actions are we to prepare for? And as you think in your own minds, it'd be fun to hear what you think is going to happen in the new year, what your plans are. And I think it's good to have plans. I think it's good to have goals. It gives us inspiration. It gives us some... a goal to point forward to. Let's look at Luke 19. Verse 12. This is Jesus telling a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent him a message after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And it goes down through how they had done with his money. And the word occupy there means to busy oneself with, to trade. ESV says, engage in business until I come. New Living Translation has a thought of invest for me. Invest this for me. And I like that thought. God has given each one of us. He's invested in us. And he wants us to, in turn, trade that, invest that, busy oneself with what he has given us. Thinking about what actions am I preparing for? God has given us so much. What am I willing to invest for him? We each have time. We each have talent. We each have energy. We each have spiritual gifts. And let's not get tired of using our gifts for the good of others. Some of us are called to be fathers and mothers. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are young folks helping at home. I want to just encourage you as young folks, you probably don't realize how much you do for your dad and mom, for your wherever you are. Some of you go off and help mothers with young children. That is priceless because you are the only ones that can actually do it, probably. Some of us are tied up. We can't do everything that we wish we could sometimes. But I just want to encourage you. That's important, a very important thing. That's your gift. That's your calling at the time. I know when you're, maybe I'm speaking out of my own experience, but sometimes when you're a younger person, maybe I was older before I got married, but sometimes it feels like life is kind of just stopped, and you're like, okay, what now? Like, what's going to happen next? But you're in a very important period of time, and it's you are important right where you are. So just enjoy it and know that God is using you right where you are. And some of us are pastors and teachers. No matter where we find ourselves, we are important to God. We are in action and preparing for more action. 2 Timothy 3:17. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay, what actions are we preparing for? These are just some thoughts that came to me. Acts 17:11 has the thought of searching the scriptures. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Changing thoughts again. Still, what actions am I preparing for? How do I prepare for action? Acts 17 has the thought of searching the scriptures, readily receiving the word of God, but also searching the scriptures on our own. And I believe these days we especially need that searching of the scriptures personally to decipher between good and evil, or good and better. There's some of both, I believe. I challenge us to not change our minds or convictions that are based in the Bible. Don't change your convictions just because of circumstances or just because our friends think different. Search the scriptures. Figure it out for yourself. Base your life on the Word of God. If your friend comes to you and has a thought, has a something they do or don't do, challenge them to the Word of God. What do you base your life on? In Philippians 1:27, this is another thought, a bit different. It talks about striving, I believe it says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's read that, Philippians 1:27. I think this has a bit to do with what we were studying in the Sunday school lesson. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I like that. That talks about a group of people or different individuals grounded in God's word, in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not that there are never differences, not that there are never different interpretations or opinions, but I believe as we strive together with God, for God, and are motivated by the Spirit of God, we will become one mind. We are one mind, even in with differences at times. Because there's that verse in Ephesians talking about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Let's keep our focus where the battle actually is, not against each other, but against wickedness, against darkness, and let's work together in that. Let's look at how God girds the righteous a little bit. Psalm 18. And in all this, I don't want it to leave the thought that we're doing this on our own strength somehow. This is absolutely not the case. We trust in God every day, all day. Psalm 18. Verse 28. Says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and by thy gentleness, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I like that promise there. David realized that even back in his day, that God was the one giving him strength. God was the one girding him up. Girdeth there has the thought of equipped. The ESV has the thought to belt, to bind about, encompass, clothe. God gives us that strength. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's an amazing promise. My God shall supply all your need, put your name in there, my need. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's a tremendous thought. There's unlimited grace, unlimited power, unlimited resources from God that we are tapped into by faith. God shall supply all your need. There's nothing that he can't supply. Okay, in closing, let's look at hope to the end. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So let's hold fast to the confidence God has given us, to the faith God has given us, to the forgiveness and peace God has given us. It's priceless. Let's hold that fast, because there is a reward. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's definitely worth waiting for. I'm going to go back to 1 Peter again. First Peter 1:13 says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And I don't know what all that means, but I'm sure it will be amazing. If it's through Christ, if it's brought from Christ to us, it will be amazing. In verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Somehow God's going to make that trial turn into something amazing. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Revelations 2. Verse 25. I believe Dan read some out of Revelations already. Revelation 2, verse 25. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken, to shivers even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Then skip down to chapter 3, verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, and from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." What a promise. And I don't know what all that means, but it's amazing, and it's true. It's a promise of God. And I like the thought of, you can look this up for yourself, but in Luke 12, verse 35, it says Jesus will sit down and serve, or he will gird himself and serve us. I'm not going to read it, but look it up for yourself, Luke 12, 35. And it's interesting to me that Jesus came to earth to serve us first. He lived here and died for us, and now he's gone to heaven, and we're serving him. He's going to come back and serve us. I believe it's in the scene of a meal. Christ will serve us. But it will be amazing. Let's be faithful. Thank you for your attention.